Shabbat Shalom. It's been a week since I've been away, but it's good to be back. The title of my message today is Feast or Bust. Just to add an addendum to what Joel said, that's right. Yahshua did the example that we're supposed to do, and that's basically, he gave the shirt off his back, he gave everything. And in my message today, I'll also speak about, basically, what are you willing to put on the altar? So the feast or bust. Some people would have you believe that there's a huge gap when you have the middle. Well, not so much the middle, but you have the beginning and the end. We who read Scripture, we already know that. We know what happened before us with Israel, and how things began at the garden. We know what the end story is. We know the end game already. There's no mystery there. We don't have all the filler that's there in the middle. Particularly when it comes to some of the feast days and Israel being out in the wilderness. Some people say that, well, we don't know that they kept it all 40 years. It almost seems a no-brainer that they're being shepherded through the wilderness for 40 years. And you don't think that they're keeping these feasts. It seems to be mind-boggling to even believe that that doesn't happen. The Bible is not a step-by-step, minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour time play. It's a glimpse. It's a history book. It's a lesson. It's footprints for us to follow, breadcrumbs on a trail that's going to lead us to a glorious, if we shall be rewarded so, a glorious, not even end, but a new beginning. So allow me to, again, feast or bust, lessons in time. Now again, you have to think about it. I tell my friends who are Christians, because I try to meet them kind of where they're at, as Yahweh does meet us. He meets me where I'm at. Yes, he does. But that does not mean that we stand still. He wants us to progress. I tell them, that walk, our walk, those of us who are believers, is a thing of progression. If you're not progressing, you look at any body of water, and water is one of the greatest things. We're all made out of it. Stagnant water is death. It stinks. You can smell it. It's a stench. If we've been given the Spirit's been placed in us, we either trouble it, and we're told not to trouble it, then it will diminish. Sadly, we can lose it. And Paul has told us, I mean, even the crown of going toward the kingdom. Don't let anyone steal your crown. Now, these situations that are presented to us, keeping the feast, keeping the commandments, they're all the same thing. We're going to stumble, we're going to fall. People will tell you, and I've been told personally, nobody can keep the Sabbath. Yet here we are. We're keeping the Sabbath. We're doing our best. No one is perfect in it, and we can always try to improve. We can ratchet down on that. We can look at it and examine and say, how can I do this better? Could I have been better? And I think every one of us, if we actually look at it, we can say, yeah, you know, I could have done that better. And Yahweh willing, give us another day, give us another Sabbath, give us another feast, especially in these days and times. If we get the opportunity, we can be better. We can improve, and we can be better lights to society. It goes beyond saying that some of our Christian friends who have decided to stand up for one little piece of the law, as we can see in the media in Kentucky, she's being lambasted. Because she has three divorces, she says she's standing for the word. So anyone who's outside that, and we may have experienced ourselves, catch the same thing. We have to pray for the day that, where the scripture says, we'll be dragged in front of kings, we'll be dragged in front of different courts to give testimony and testify. So we have to be on our best P's and Q's throughout our life, because in this day of technology, whatever we've put out there, someone's going to nitpick it and they're going to drag through it. Did we keep the feast this year? Did we keep the feast previous year? Did we skip? Did we dance a little bit and let our employers, okay, I won't keep the whole feast this year. I had to put that on the altar myself. I put my job in Chicago on the altar to keep the whole feast instead of a few days. It was a job I loved. I got up for that job. But Yahweh says, keep the feast, keep it 7 days. And don't forget the last great day. And I did it. I got fired. But Yahweh gave me something better. I wanted to be here in Missouri. I put that, what I did prize, on that altar. And Yahweh gave me better. So what we have now, we have the three pilgrimage feasts. Unleavened bread to start it. We've got our end, Feast of Tabernacles. A taste of the kingdom, some people have called it. Traveling, lodging temporarily, booths, sukkah, to be or not to be. I say leave your personal doctrine at the door, because there are some amongst us who say that we should absolutely be in tents. There's nothing that says that you have to dwell in a tent specifically. But you can't keep it at home. You can't build a sukkah in your backyard. That you're not. How are you walking in the footsteps of those who came before us? Those who came before us, who is that? Israel in the wilderness, in the desert. 40 years that they were not supposed to do. They were supposed to walk right in there. But I digress. Taste of the kingdom, other strides and joy at growth. I'm going to speak about my time in Chicago with the congregation of Yahweh for the Sabbath last week. Rejoice. That's a command, you know. And I have a personal lesson from a couple of feasts ago. And I remember being down, and Randy, Elder Randy, being at the opening ceremony. And he read that passage. And it was there that I heard those words, and I was convinced, convicted, to shape up and enjoy the feast, because it is an excellent time. And then I see that they didn't get it, but that's supposed to say Israel's hard lesson and a lesson to us in the future. When traveling, Merriam-Webster, our great Merriam-Webster, a pilgrimage is a journey to a holy place, a journey to a special or unusual place. Backyard, it's not so special, is it? We can just walk right out the door, pitch our tent, keep it, and say, hey, we kept tabernacles. I didn't go in the house, or maybe I went down the street to use McDonald's bathroom or the truck stop. I don't know. But this is the exact wording of Merriam-Webster. So every time this is used, no matter what faith it is in the world, it's typically someone making a journey. The Muslims, I believe, they go to Mecca. In the scriptures, we see that many journeyed when we had unleavened bread. And so many who are believers from the different nations converged on Jerusalem. And you had the 12 tongues, and they're hearing their own languages. But they made the journey to Jerusalem. In the future, in the millennium, in the kingdom, people are going to come up. You better come up to Jerusalem. Otherwise, there's penalties for that. No rain. No rain makes us death. It's sickness. There's no food. Yahweh is going to be able to, and is always able to, break us down at the weakest and utmost points. Well, we will cry enough, because no one can spank like Yahweh. Now, when we go to the feast, my experience has always been, from my earlier days into now, we go into the feast, we journey. I personally would never want to be at a feast where I'm right down the street, where work is right in my microcosm. When I go to the feast, I want to go to the feast. I want to be immersed, just as we are immersed into the waters of baptism. I don't want the world to be intruding into that oh-so-special time. And we do this. Now, to give us a picture of this, I'm not sure if anyone's been to both Disney World and Disneyland. But Disneyland in California is a small place. You can see the roads and the highways and traffic going by. That's not something that I want to do, nor is it indicative of what Israel did when they were in the wilderness. Egypt may have been in their hearts and their heads, but they were physically and mentally out in that wilderness without all the comforts of home, because they cried about the meat pots and the different delicacies and oh, this, that, and oh, and just, they wore on Moses. I feel for him. Now, what you see there, if you're looking at the PowerPoint, Disneyland's down in that small little corner. This is to scale, at a mile out, as you can see there. And then you have Florida's Disney World. Like the feast, like when Yahweh's Restoration Ministry goes to the feast, we've been in state parks. We've been at camps. When you're in the feast, you don't see the world. You have to travel to the store. The store is maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes out. But you're going to have to leave the feast in order to go to the world. When you're in Walt Disney World, you are in there. You have to take a road to drive in there, and then you've got to take a train or a boat to actually get to Disney World. You don't just walk into the place. You don't just drive right up to the bumper and walk in. The feast is like that. I think the closest we've been is an hour and a half. But I've heard people who've done journeys. We have people who are coming from Puerto Rico. We have people who are coming from London, crossing waters to come to Yahweh's appointed times. You're in the feast, and the world does not intrude. When you're in Walt Disney World, the world can't intrude. They have designed it for that. It's an excellent design. Now, when you are in, like I said, you're in. As you can see from this picture here, this is from when we were at Knob Noster. Knob Noster was a great time. There were some things, but, you know, my lesson in it was, let's not murmur like Israel. You don't want to make Yahweh angry. Be thankful for what we got. Be thankful that we had a place. Everything wasn't perfect, but it teaches us perseverance. It teaches us patience. It gives us lessons, even for our little children who are there, who can say, man, I've been there. In the Torah, it tells the fathers, when you sit down with your sons, and your sons, because they weren't, some of the children weren't out there in the wilderness. They know they're just keeping this, like many children here. Why are we doing this? And so we teach them in our children's class, in our youth class. This is why we're doing it. It's a lesson. The Feast of Tabernacles, Yahweh says that, to know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. But that was for a reason. That wasn't the design. Every time we mess with things, the potential is there to make our journey rough and worse. So rejoice. This is the commandment. As you can see from this other picture, you're surrounded by the season. I mean, you got basketball court there. We had meeting hall. But you have trees all around. It's a beautiful rainbow right there. We all know what this, the sign of the rainbow is. Yahweh's not going to destroy the earth with the flood again. That was a perfect picture. I wish I could have gotten it all. But you're surrounded by the season. And trust me, that truck, it's backing up right now. You can hear the beeping noise. We are less than a month away. We are ready to go. I know I'm ready to go to the feast. It's a new place. And even if it was the same old place, if we went back to Shacharach, hey, that'd be great. We get to see some old faces. Regardless, we get to take in Yahweh's times. It's a continuum. Yahweh's creation is easily able to shine when we can step away from the world instead of, again, being in your backyard and you got the honkings of the horns. Maybe smog if you're in California. But just the interference, instead of Yahweh being all in all for you, the world is going to stick its foot there and take up some real estate in your spirit and in your life. And if you're close to work, you might be tempted to actually not be there for a high day, or you'll be there for a high day, but maybe go back on a regular day. Supposed to be in the feast for 7 days, if you've worked up to that. Thankfully, in some of my travels, I've seen progress. And Yahweh, give them time, as I'll speak about, they'll do more. And I'll be very happy to see that. Now, my road trip to Chicago, I said, I spent the time for the Sabbath with the Congregation de Yahweh. That's Congregation of Yahweh. It's a Hispanic assembly. They're actually part of my journey to getting immersed in Eaton Rapids. What you see there is they're Hispanic. They mostly do their services in Spanish, but I came there, and the pastor easily did it in bilingual, English and Spanish. Been around enough Spanish people, I pick up some things already by myself. But as you can see back there, possibly, not sure how good that's seen, open the eyes of my heart, Yah. That's one of the songs we sing here. They're just like us. Just speak Spanish. A little different, but we're all in the body of Messiah together. I feel at home there. They love to see me. As a matter of fact, they asked me, hey, are you coming back to Chicago? I laughed. It's not my desire. Unless Yahweh moves me, I'm not going back to Chicago. But I enjoy my time there, and I enjoy the brethren there. They're beautiful people. My brethren here are beautiful people. Any of the brethren that I really do meet who are searching for Yahweh, that is a thing of beauty. Picasso couldn't have done better. It's another song there. I believe it's the same song. Santo, 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 yo quiero verte. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Sounds familiar. We sing that song, right? Now, we have progress and joy. Previously, those brethren, this is right here, this section, speaking about them. They previously kept the feast in-house. But this year, I'm very happy to say it, I partook of that. They are going to, it's just for the weekend, it's a start, it's progress. Yahweh bless them, give them time, and give us the continued religious freedom here in this country. They will take in a whole feast. But this year, they're going to go out to a forest preserve. They're going to camp for the weekend. And they're going to get a taste of stepping away from it. Now, downside, some people say, well, I don't know if camping is my thing. So in my head, I'm just like, oh, you're going to go to the feast. Now, I've been there twice. Each time, unexpectedly, they ask me to speak. Impromptu, but I did. And basically, it was a feast message. It was an encouraging of that assembly to put away your own personal feelings. So what that you haven't camped before? Do you think that Israel had been in the wilderness for 40 years before? Who knows what they slept on? Who knows what they had in Egypt? But you got a queen-size bed? Go to the feast. I told them, what are you going to do if Yahweh says, hey, it's time to go? I don't think we're going to be in no five-star restaurant wherever he takes us. Your queen-size bed, your water bed, whatever your comforts of home, you're not going to have time for that. There's no planning. When Yahweh says go, you do it. We have the passage of, if you're up on your roof, don't go back into your house after your clothes. If you're out in the field, don't go back to the house. You move. So they're going to get a bit of a taste. I pray that those who may have, I don't want to say murmured, but they're unsure because, well, we city folk, we don't always go out into nature. I know if I get bit by one time by a mosquito, that's it. I'm in the house. I've experienced things here in Missouri that I'm just like, city kids don't do this. The tick attack that I had. And then people at work, oh, you just pull them off and keep going. City kids, we don't do that. We don't deal with that. Again, when we make our prayers, pray for those, not to say that we're better, but pray for them who may not be as far on the walk as we are. Everybody's in different places, but Yahweh give us the time. I like to say that no one is taken before their time, because there's a lot of people who say they were taken before their time. No, they're not. But it's the understanding that we have that everybody is born with a time. And when it is their time, no medicine, no machine can stop that time. But Yahweh give us years. Those brethren up there, they will be keeping a whole feast. Hallelujah. I feel excellent with that feeling. For anyone that can take in the whole feast and progress from nothing to a little bit, to a lot more, to all, Yahweh bless them. Those are my friends there, and I always keep in touch. I've given them some names of different things, of different other people in the area, that when they're ready, if they don't want to keep it by themselves, to start building bridges. We have Shalom Assembly there in Illinois. It's a two-hour journey. Some people even said, well, that's a little long, 2 hours. We've got friends who are flying in across the waters. We have friends who have come from Washington, Virginia, different other places. We're commanded to rejoice. I spoke earlier, a couple of years ago, that I was hobbled, double ankle injury. I was, in one day, I crawled, I was on a cane, crutches, and a wheelchair. Came to the feast on a cane. The most relaxing place was laying in bed. Heard the message, went laid in bed. It alleviated the pain in my feet. But Elder Randy, at the beginning of the Tabernacles, I'm not sure which one of these verses he did read, but certainly in Leviticus 23:40b-42b, "And ye shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim 7 days, and ye shall keep it a feast unto Yahweh 7 days in that year. It shall be a statue forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days." But key in on that, rejoice. Don't go there grumbling. Remember, a day is made out of moments. If something doesn't exactly go your way, don't become bridezilla or groomzilla and think that the whole thing is ruined. Grab a hold of the bowl, figure it out, and get happy again. Rejoice. Israel got in its trouble because of all the murmurings. Don't murmur against Yahweh. This is his time. You want to murmur? Maybe you shouldn't be there. But I'd say still be there. Just figure it out. Figure it out. Again, these are not new footsteps. You're not some new pioneer. People have gone before you who had it far worse. We live in a land of freedom. And sure, some of those freedoms are getting knocked. But don't worry about what you don't have. Worry about what do you have and what are you not utilizing. What can you do and what's being done? Was Israel supposed to wander 40 years in the wilderness? The Bible tells us no. They were supposed to march in there. They're supposed to take that. Leviticus 23:43, "That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh your Elohim." Yahweh did that because of their rebellion. Negativity. Don't bring it about on Yahweh. Yahweh can't be in the same place with that stuff. It was enough that Moses got, he pleaded with Yahweh basically, don't destroy them. If you're going to destroy them, destroy me. Promise and doubt. We have promises, but there, scripture says, there's going to come time where people are going to doubt that Messiah is returning. Let's not get there. Let's not get there. Exodus 3:8, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites." Israel's one, and you got these others that are greater. They're greater. And Yahweh is telling them, I'm going to take you in there. Believe in me. Have faith. Now, I'm not going to go through Numbers 13 or 14 because it's literally a chapter and a half, maybe a little bit more, of the doubt from the promise and the fallout from that. But what do we take from that? They grumbled against Moses. You're grumbling against someone that Yahweh spoke to face, not in visions and not in dreams. We saw an example of this with Miriam, as her and Aaron, they grumbled against Moses and talked about his wife, the Ethiopian woman. Miriam paid a price. Leprosy 7 days, put out the camp. Everything stopped. They learned a lesson. You don't trouble Yahweh's holy ones. There is a price to pay, either immediately or sooner or later, but it's going to come. Numbers 13 talks about that. You see, and the spies. The spies get sent in there. They come back. 2 with a good report. And the other 10. Oh, no, we can't do that. They're mightier than us. Oh, that's impossible. No, we're not going in there. Nah. Numbers 14, the whining, complaining, and the punishment. Yahweh tells them, you know what? I'm going to give you exactly what you basically self-prophesied. You're going to die? You're absolutely right. You are going to die. Your carcasses are going to fall in the desert. For the number of days that they were in there, this is what's going to happen. I mean, it's kind of crazy. One day for a year, doubling out, just going out. 26 through 45 is, you know, it's very heavy. I'm going to turn to Numbers 26 through 45 real quick, and I'm going to read that. Because, again, I noted that it was very heavy. And just imagine yourselves and just think about it. You don't want any part of that. It was a blessing that Yahweh spared the innocent. Numbers 26, 45. And you know what? I'm incorrect. I wrote that down wrong. No, it's 14. I'm sorry. I got them backwards. Numbers 14, 26 through 45. Thing is, when you're going to quote or read scripture, just like when we ask someone, where'd you see that at? Can you show me? Don't just take the word for it. Numbers 26 through 45. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear this evil congregation, which murmur against me? You aren't murmuring against Moses, really. You're murmuring against Yahweh. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith Yahweh, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. They're going to get what they ask for, what they're complaining about. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to the whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye separated, you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year. Shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, Yahweh, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and they shall die. And the men, now, this is the promise here. Now it's just like, whoa, whoa, no, we'll fix it. We'll go ahead, no, we're sorry. But as we continue reading, we'll see that it was too late. Yahweh had been tempted enough. I mean, in a way, it cost Moses. He's still responsible for his own actions. We are all responsible for our own actions. But there's fallout from that, just like anything. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before Yahweh. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and will go up into the place which Yahweh hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of Yahweh? He already said what's going to happen. But it shall not prosper. He's telling them, it's not going to work. You're going to be sorry. Go not up, for Yahweh is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from Yahweh. Therefore Yahweh will not be with you. But they presumed to go up into the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh and Moses departed not out of the camp. Yahweh was not with them, and they went up anyway. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. They murmured, and they murmured, and finally, as an old adage goes, the cup was full, and it has to get poured out. Sometimes we wonder, with all the sin that's going on in the world, even in this nation, how full is this cup, and when does it get poured out? When does the hammer of judgment fall? Don't know. But we, as I said, people have walked these steps before us. Let's look to the scriptures and try not to tread the same steps that they did. We got to go on that journey, but we don't have to make the same mistakes. Tabernacles is coming. We are in a time now. We've got trumpets. We've got atonement. We've got tabernacles. Let's keep the feast. Let us rejoice and be glad. Be happy you're seeing your friends. They're coming from different places. Some people, it's going to be new. For some people, this is old. For some of them, are going to be new friends. So let's make some new friends. Don't just pigeonhole yourself in your groups. I can understand when we're in a massive, like when I was in Worldwide. We're talking like 800 plus people. You kind of feel like you should kind of. You'll never meet everybody. But in our surroundings, the opportunity is there to seize the day. Carpe diem. Carpe noctem. Seize the night. Seize every opportunity that you have to make this feast great. Give of yourself. Don't be selfish. Think about Yahshua. Think about what Brother Joel was speaking about. Giving everything. What are you willing to put on the altar to help make this a feast to be remembered? Not as if this should be the last feast, because Yahweh give you 30 more feasts. Make everyone greater than the rest of them. Take care of your murmurings if you got them. If you have them, go pray about it. There are no secret places from Yahweh. You can't hide what's in your heart. Good Sabbath, good Shabbos, and Yahweh bless you.